Please turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 24. As we continue our reading of this book this evening, we're going to read the entire chapter. It's a rather long narrative, so I'll give you a short sermon. Let us first pray. Our blessed God, we thank you for your living word, and we thank you that from generation to generation, you have kept your word, and you have published your word throughout the earth so that it is proclaimed in many lands and in many tongues. And we ask now for the help of your Spirit to open the word and open our hearts to your word, to the praise of Christ. Amen. Genesis chapter 24, beginning at the first verse, hear now the word of God. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house who ruled over all that he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son, Isaac." And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?" And Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, 'Please let down your pitcher that I may drink,' and she says, 'Drink,' and I will also give your camels a drink, let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." And it happened before he had finished speaking that, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher." So she said, "Drink, my lord." Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking." Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent, so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel, and 2 bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold, and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge?" So she said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor." Moreover, she said to him, "We have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge." Then the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me being on the way, The Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Now, Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, "Thus the man spoke to me," that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels." Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, "I will not eat until I have told about my errand." And he said, "Speak on." So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. And to him he has given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell. But you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son.' And I said to my master, 'Perhaps the woman will not follow me.' But he said to me, 'The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way. And you shall take a wife for my son from my family and from my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family. For if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath.' And this day I came to the well and said, 'O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. And it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, and I say to her, "Please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink," and she says to me, "Drink, and I will draw for your camels also," let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. But before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, "Please let me drink." And she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, "Drink, and I will give your camels a drink also." So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also. Then I asked her and said, "Whose daughter are you?" And she said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him." So I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrists. And I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you, either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken." And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard their words, that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, "Send me away to my master." But her brother and her mother said, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go." And he said to them, "Do not hinder me. Since the Lord has prospered my way, send me away so that I may go to my master." So they said, "We will call the young woman and ask her personally." Then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of ten thousands, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Be'er Lahai Royi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel, for she had said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And here ends the reading of the Word of God. Now, this is the longest story in the book of Genesis, and certainly one of the most beautiful. Just to review a little bit the structure of the narrative so we can keep the pieces together. It begins with Abraham commanding his servant and the servant taking an oath to obey him. And then the next scene is his arrival in Mesopotamia and the miraculous sign that is fulfilled before he even finished asking. And at that point, the narrator introduces Rebekah, confirming to the servant that he had arrived at the right place. And then the scene shifts home to Rebekah's family, and we're introduced to Laban, whom we're going to meet again a few chapters later during the life of Jacob. And then we find a repetition of the story in good Hebrew narrative style. Abraham's servant recounts the command that Abraham had given to him and the oath that he had taken. And then he recounts his arrival at the well and the sign that was fulfilled before he finished speaking. And up until this point, we have heard the story twice, just to make sure that we've heard the story. And now, as we find ourselves in Rebekah's home, we find at verse 49 the key question. The key question being, let me know if you're going to give me this woman or not. And the answer comes in the following two verses as Laban and Bethuel say, "The thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you, either bad or good. Take her." We have the usual dowry gifts, a description of gracious hospitality, and then the negotiation of the departure. And then finally, the story ends with the travel to the promised land, Isaac in the field, meeting Rebekah in the field, and then the servant recounting to Isaac what he had done and a brief notice of their wedding. Now, this whole episode was foreshadowed back in chapter 22. You might remember at the very end of chapter 22, there's this little genealogy tucked in there, and you kind of wonder, what is this doing here? We go from the offering of Isaac to the death of Sarah, and in between is this little genealogy. But that little genealogy in chapter 22, verses 20 through 24, introduced Rebekah to us. Rebekah is the one daughter mentioned here and specifically named in verse 23. And so later on in chapter 24, at verse 24, when she recounts her own genealogy to the servant, we see an echo here of that flash forward that was given to us back in Genesis 22. Now, the whole chapter begins with Abraham as an old man. And the whole chapter ends with Isaac as a newlywed. The end point of this chapter looks ahead to the story of the chosen family going forward now. Did you notice what is omitted? There are a lot of things omitted in this story. We're not told anything about the long travel. The travel each way took months. We're not told about the company that went along with the servant. But somebody's got to take care of 10 camels as you travel for months. The focus in the whole story in good Hebrew form is on action and the dialogue and the recounting of the story. Now, when you look at this in the Hebrew, one key verb that stands out here is a verb that's used 17 times in these verses. It's a verb that's translated go or walk or leave. It's translated a number of different ways in the English version. But you can see this verb appearing in verse 4, for example, when Abraham says to the servant, "You shall go to my country." and in verse 5 again, perhaps this woman won't be able to go with me to this land. And it goes on many times. The story is recounted, and again, the verbs are used again and again and again, the verb to go. And that's a key thing. When we get to verse 51, we find this verb used in a key way. Here is Rebecca before you, take her and go. And then later, when they ask Rebecca her own opinion, they ask Rebecca, will you go with this man? And she says, I will go. And we see the answer of the prayer of the servant and of Abraham's desire. Now, the story is about faith and faithfulness, and it's about the providence of God. The story here in chapter 24 begins with a statement about the Lord's faithfulness. Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. This is where the story begins, with the faithfulness of the Lord. And what this chapter shows us is that the blessedness of Abraham, the faithfulness of the Lord to Abraham, is going to be passed on now to Isaac. We see, again, a testimony of Abraham's faith here. The blessedness that he had received as God had kept his word. God had told Abraham way back in the beginning, back in Genesis 12, you might remember, that was 12 chapters ago. It's a long time. But God said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. Now Abraham is 140 years old. He's going to live another 35 years, but he couldn't know that. And he is concerned that Isaac have a wife. He's also concerned that no Canaanite wife be taken for Isaac. Abraham is a stranger in the land of Canaan. Abraham desires the heavenly country that was promised to him, as the apostle reminds us in Hebrews 11:16. And Abraham wanted the assurance that the child of promise would not be turned aside from the desire for the heavenly country to settle for a piece of Canaan with a woman of the land. Now, Isaac could very easily have married at least one of the women of the people of Hebron. You might remember in the preceding chapter, in chapter 23, when Abraham is negotiating buying a cemetery for his family, how they honored him. Chapter 23, verse 6, they said to Abraham, hear us, my Lord, you are a mighty prince among us. And they honored him. They would have very happily given one of their daughters to marry Abraham's son. And thinking in worldly terms, it would have made perfect sense. Isaac would immediately have had prestige in the community. He would have been able to buy land freely, and he would have been able to move about as a native son. But Isaac's hope, as Abraham's hope, is not in this land. Isaac's hope is not in this idolatrous culture. So Abraham wants to assure that Isaac has a wife from Abraham's own line. A wife from Abraham's own line will cling to Isaac and not to the land, not to its customs, not to its religion. She will come into the covenant household of Isaac, and she will come to know the Lord, for the Lord has promised to bless Abraham's seed. Indeed, one bad verb in this narrative is the verb return, which you can find here in verse in when Abraham says to his servant that you will not have my son return to the land. He's very firm. If the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. Abraham had left that land, and his seed was not to go back. So we see a testimony of God's faithfulness, of Abraham's faith, but we also see this remarkable servant, this remarkable elder servant, who is a very faithful man. He's faithful to his master, and he's faithful to the Lord. Now remember that this man would have been circumcised in Abraham's house. He would have been considered, in the eyes of the Lord, as one of the covenant family of Abraham. And he had seen the blessings of the Lord. And so this man does what he's told. Indeed, he accepts the prophecy that Abraham makes in verse 7. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And he goes off, expecting to see the Lord work. He is a prayerful man. When he gets to the well in Mesopotamia, in verse 12, one of the first things that he does after taking care of his camels, having them rest, is to pray. O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. And then he is a man who is willing to wait to see his prayer answered. When he meets Rebecca and she waters the camels, in verse 21, he's wondering at all this, but he remains silent, waiting to see the answer of the Lord. And he is a thankful man. In verses 26 and 27, when he realizes that Rebecca is the answer to his prayer, he bows down his head and worships the Lord, blesses the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. He's a man who also bears testimony about the Lord. When he introduces himself to Laban and to Rebecca's family, at verse 34, he says, I am Abraham's servant. And the very next thing he does is bear testimony about what the Lord has done for his master. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he expresses all the riches that God has blessed Abraham with. And same with a little bit later on, when he realized that Rebecca was the daughter that descended from Nahor, Abraham's brother. Verse 48, I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. He is a prayerfully thankful man. When Laban and Bethuel say, take Rebecca and go, he worshiped the Lord and bowed himself. Verse 52. And then, once again, he bears testimony to them the very next day at verse 56. So, a series of faithful encounters, a faithful consequence of the Lord's covenant with Abraham. Abraham keeping faith with God and being assured of God's promises to him, expecting to see the blessing indeed passed on to Isaac. And the servant raised in the household of Abraham, who has come to know the Lord and who also is a faithful man serving his master and serving the Lord. But we also see in this account a great emphasis on God's providence. And you notice the centrality of prayer in here. The Westminster Shorter Catechism describes the works of providence as God's most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. God oversees this entire story. Indeed, the name Yahweh, the name Lord, occurs 19 times in this chapter, and the title God 7 times. The story is filled with prayer, and it is filled with the expectation of answered prayer and divine intervention. It happened before he had finished speaking. He hadn't even finished his prayer, and the answer was already coming. God is watching over this whole affair and is sovereign over all the details, although God doesn't intercede by voice in this chapter. He doesn't speak to Abraham. He doesn't declare an intention to the servant. But these are people who have lived in the presence of God and understand that God is alive and active and directing the course of their lives. We also see in this chapter the usual tension that we experience between the sovereignty of God and the decisions that people might make. When the servant is given his charge by Abraham at the very beginning of the chapter, he understands the weight of this. He understands what a huge responsibility Abraham is putting upon him as a servant. And he knows how fickle people can be. And he says, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. He understands that it is Abraham's desire to have a wife from his family for his son Isaac. But what if she doesn't want to cooperate? And Abraham here answers with that prophetic assurance that the angel of the Lord shall go before you and you shall take a wife. And then Abraham, to comfort the servant, says, and if the woman is not willing to follow you, you'll be released from this oath. And we see later on at verse 21 how the man is amazed at the fulfillment. And he is aware that there is something holy happening here. Indeed, in this account, even Laban, who is a pagan, left back in the land of idolatry, knows about the Lord. Possibly he had learned about the Lord through Abraham, but you might remember they didn't have email and phones in those days. He probably hadn't had news of his family in a long time, since whoever brought news of that genealogy. But he knew about the Lord. And indeed, he called the servant blessed of the Lord. And when he and his father understood what was happening, they said, this thing comes from the Lord. And then in verse, we can see him just affirming again a knowledge of the Lord. And then think about Rebecca. Rebecca is shown in this story as a lovely young woman. It's hard for us to really understand what is going on here, but try to follow me a minute. Here are these camels that have just crossed all around the Fertile Crescent, and they've come into what today is Iraq, Mesopotamia. They've been traveling for weeks, months perhaps, and they're thirsty beasts. How much water do you think a camel can drink? Many gallons. How much water do you think 10 camels can drink? How busy do you think Rebecca was with her jar going from the well to the trough? She is shown as a very energetic, lively, dynamic young woman here in this story. She doesn't hesitate to take the lead when she understands what goes on and runs home to her family to explain what has gone on. And Rebecca showed some kind of trust, didn't she? But what did she have to go by? She had to go by the word of a servant, perhaps family lore. Undoubtedly, she would know about her great uncle Abraham. He was by this time probably a legend in his family. After all, Abraham was her father's uncle, and her father would have talked to her about him. Maybe she saw the jewelry that was given to her as an esteem and respect that the servant showed to her. As she heard the confirmation by her brother and her father reported for us in verse 50 that this thing comes from the Lord, Rebecca might have received some kind of comfort and confidence from this. When she hears her brother and father say, take her and go. And when they call her and they ask her, will you go with this man? She gives a very determined answer. In Hebrew, it's one word. Elech, I will go. So was Rebecca understanding the work of the Lord behind the scenes? Who put this determination into her will to go with strangers and to travel hundreds of miles across the desert to a place she had never seen, that she had heard about in family lore, to marry a man whom she had never met? Once again, we see in the character of Rebecca the work of the Lord, who prepares her and guides her and encourages her to go forward and fulfill his will. He doesn't speak a word, but we can see the work of the Lord through the actions of this young woman. And then later on, as they finally get back to the land of promise, we have the account of the marriage. We see them months later, after leaving her home, meeting in the field. And this is the last part of the chapter there, verses 62 through 65. Isaac appears. Isaac had come up from the way of the south, from the Negev in the wilderness. He had come by the way where Hagar had seen the Lord, where he had appeared to her to comfort her. And she had called that well, which we are given, the name of which we are given here in the field, Be'er Lahai Royi, the well of the living one who sees me. And notice that Isaac, too, is by a well at the time of his betrothal. Rebecca was by the well at the time she came to be betrothed. Isaac is by a well at a time that he comes to be betrothed. And we're going to see this pattern again in Genesis. In verse 63, we have we're told that Isaac went out, our version here says, to meditate in the field. Actually, the verb is used only here in the whole Hebrew Bible, and the meaning of this verb is not certain. The ancient versions translate it in different ways. The Vulgate translates it meditate. The Septuagint translates it to talk. The meaning of this verb most probably is to stroll or to wander about. Isaac was out in the field walking around. And that, again, stresses the providential care of God. He's out for a walk in the field by the well when a caravan arrives after weeks of travel, bringing his bride to him. Now, what we see here is a transition. We see a transition from the beginning of the chapter to the end of the chapter, from one patriarch to another patriarch. Isaac, the story begins with Abraham. The story ends with Isaac. Isaac is 40 years old here when he meets Rebekah and marries her. We're told this in the next chapter, verse 20. Isaac went on to live to 180 years. And again, we don't know Rebekah's age. Remember, Sarah is the only woman in the Bible whose age we know. The story begins with Abraham, old and well advanced in years. And the story ends with Abraham's servant calling Isaac my master in verse 65. And reporting to Isaac what he had done, not to Abraham. And so the story here in this chapter shows us the transition, how now God's account is going to move beyond Abraham and go on to talk about the continuing fulfillment of his promise, because we have focused on Abraham for all these chapters. And certainly the life of Abraham is vital in the Bible. But the promises of God are for multiple generations to come. And so now the scripture shows us how the story is going to move. And we also see another transition from matriarch to matriarch. We see Rebekah coming down from her camel, and she covers herself with a veil or a shawl. Now, the women in Israel were not normally veiled, as you see Muslim women today. But a bride would cover herself in the presence of a groom. And indeed, we keep a custom similar to that, that on the wedding day, the groom can't see the bride until she walks down the aisle. So here, as she dismounts from the camel and covers herself with a veil, she identifies herself as the bride for this man who has come out into the field. And Isaac is mourning his mother. And Rebekah is now introduced into Sarah's tent. And we have this very beautiful last verse in this chapter, that Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So Isaac had a tender heart for this woman and loved her and became a good, loving husband. Although later on, when they have children, we're going to see some difficulties in the relationship. They're chosen by God, but they're human. Just as you are chosen by God and are human, and there are little times in your life when things don't go as smoothly as you would like. But now Rebekah is moved into Sarah's tent. She is now the most important woman in the family. And we're not told about a wedding service here, but we are told about the transition from one matriarch to the other matriarch, from one patriarch to the other patriarch. And so the seed of promise is to continue. Isaac has a wife, and God is going to fulfill what he had promised to Abraham back in Genesis 17:19. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. Now that he has a wife, he can contemplate having descendants. And indeed, in Genesis 21:12, God told Abraham, "For in Isaac your seed shall be called." God shows his faithfulness to his people here. So let me leave you with a few thoughts for the children of Abraham. We have learned from Abraham time and again as we've studied his life that we must learn to trust the promises of the Lord. He is a faithful God, and he will not let you down. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure, Paul tells the Philippians. And indeed, we see God doing exactly this all through this chapter in every one of the people that we meet in this wonderful story. The second lesson we learn as children of Abraham is to not marry outside the line of promise. Too often Christians think that they can, without trouble, marry those outside the church. It is a big mistake, and it is an unfaithfulness to the Lord, and it is an invitation for immense difficulties. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in 2 Corinthians 6, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness?" Abraham understood this, and the teaching has been passed on for every generation to Abraham's children. Please learn the lesson from your father in the faith. And the third thing is to trust in the providence of God, to learn to be prayerful and to learn to be patient. Some of you are praying for work. Some of you are praying for a wife or for a husband. Some of you are praying for the next challenge that God might bring your way in your studies or in preparation. If you look to the Lord, He will provide for you. He may not give you what you think you need, but He will always give you what you need. He will always care for you. And when you meet that attractive person in real life, I don't know that somebody's going to show up with water for your camels, but just when you know, oh, this might be the person, then remember to do as the servant did and bow your head to the Lord and give Him thanks and praise Him for His wonderful fatherly care. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let us pray together. Father, we thank You for Your gracious care and providence. We thank You for the wonderful way in which You provided a wife for Isaac and for the many things You revealed to us through this beautiful story of the way You always work behind the scenes and govern all the things that are needful for Your people. We praise You, God, for Your faithfulness, for Your kindness, for Your mercy, and pray that we would be faithful as Abraham was, as his servant was, and that we would be quick to obey You and to follow Your will as Rebecca was. Grant us the grace we need, O God, to live before You faithfully, joyfully, and thankfully through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.